North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You have tuned into North Idaho News of the Week on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, and Chris Bessler is here as well. Welcome back, Chris, by the way.
Yeah, good morning. I had actually 2 weeks off there.
You did.
I was gone 1 week, and then we didn't have the show last Friday.
Yeah, neither of us were here for Thanksgiving. Yeah. Did you, and you took the... You took the healing waters.
How was that? Went up and soaked in the hot springs in Ainsworth, Canada. That was, of course, splendid.
Oh, very nice.
You've been there, I presume.
I haven't, actually.
You haven't.
I know everybody I know has been there, but I have not made the that trip.
Well,
something about the border makes it seem like it's really far away.
It's kind of fun to go into Canada for its own sake, but. Yeah. Ainsworth is a little different because they have a cave that you go into that's really cool. And you can hang out in the cave and actually get out of the water and just hang out in the warm air of the cave, you know. So, and then they have pools and stuff. So, yeah, it's really a fun place to go.
Yeah. It is. And it's was it snowing up there when you were there? Was there snow on the ground?
No, not any appreciable amount.
The
driving conditions were good. Of course, we do have snow today.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's one of the things that we should talk about.
Breaking news,
Jack. The weather. what a difference a day makes, and it is. I thought we would wake up to some snow, but this is actually quite a bit of snow already on the ground, and it continues to fall. There's a winter weather advisory in effect. I'll give that weather report right now, because this winter weather advisory is important, especially to those of you driving. It's in effect from 4 a.m. today to 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Snow is expected, total accumulations between 2 and 6 inches in the valleys, up above 3,000 feet, accumulations of up to 15 inches. Windy tomorrow with gusts as high as 40 miles an hour. Travel could be very difficult. Right now it's okay, I would say, other than just, you know, road conditions are slicker.
Yes, I mean, the thing about the first snow of the year, the first snows of the year, is you just slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down, leave yourself more time to stop and maneuver, because it's going to take a lot longer to stop. The roads are slippery. I just drove in.
Yeah, they are. Everybody forgets. I mean, everybody has to remember what it's like to drive in the snow, and that it's not exactly the same. But not only will the road conditions be bad, the hazardous conditions could impact this evening commute. So don't try to rush home tonight. Patchy blowing snow across areas south and west of Spokane and portions of the Palouse. So if you're traveling that far, that's of course where it's much flatter. That's where the drifts are going to pile up. But light snow will result in slick conditions and increasing snow intensity Friday afternoon and into Saturday morning. There you go. Be careful out there.
Yeah.
That's the winter weather advisory. The snow, by the way, is predicted to continue into Saturday night. 90% chance of snow on Sunday as well. And then it perhaps will change to rain on Sunday night.
Don't really like to hear, but...
No, this weekend should be a lot of fun playing in the snow. Yeah. And then next week, it doesn't look like... It looks like all that snow is going to turn into rain, and then we'll see what... Speaking of driving conditions, that's not going to be great. Let's see. Let's talk about the news, though, as well. Probably the big continuing story is at the county level, which is sort of a really tangled web,
ongoing saga.
It's hard to get into, but the latest, or to get into without getting all the way into it, but the latest... headline is that the Bonner County Commission has voted to draft a response to alleged misinformation given by the Sheriff's Department. So they will have an official response to Sheriff Darrell Wheeler's statements of, and I can't remember the date, but there will be, it basically the drama continues and there will be an official response from the county commission to the sheriff.
Yes, and this is concerning financial management of the fairgrounds alleged mismanagement. And it, as you mentioned, it's quite a convoluted story there. There have been all kinds of strife over the fairgrounds between the sheriff, who wants to hold part of the ground there to be used for a future justice center, and the county commissioners who had a $500,000 grant to do a RV park there that is now on hold or maybe even lost over this skirmishing. So, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, Jack. We've talked about it in previous shows, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again. But I guess for now we could just say, you know, the skirmishing continues.
Yes, exactly. The Open Primaries Initiative, those of you following that story, the goal here in Legislative District 1, Bonner and Boundary County, has been met. Over 2,000 signatures have been verified. So here, at least, the goal has been met, but that's just the local results. 63,000 verified signatures need to be gathered statewide for that too.
And they shoot for quite a bit more than that, at least 50% more, because some signatures will probably be tossed out for various reasons.
Yeah.
If they're not registered voters, or they've signed it twice, or for other reasons. So the an open initiatives groups are really shooting for a lot more than that. But as you mentioned, they've achieved their goal here. They have to get 18 different legislative districts to come up with more than 6% of their voters signing on. But they also need to get 6% statewide. That's, that's a different number, because there's 35 legislative districts. So there are still people out gathering signatures here, even though they've raised enough in District 1 to likely meet that 6% requirement here in District 1. They still need to hit that 6% requirement statewide, so people can still sign it here, and it still will contribute to getting that initiative on the ballot.
And they,
assuming you want that.
Yeah, and they still have, let's see here. I'm trying to look at the date that they have to get it
by. It's until April, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have quite a while, but they have an awful lot. That's a very steep threshold to meet, to get 6% of all the registered voters to sign the petition to have this put on the ballot. And if it is successful, they get all those signatures they need, then people would be voting on it next November during the general election.
Yeah. And that is, well, anyway, that's the Open Primaries Initiative, which I was about to detail, but actually it's, you should do your own research.
I'm sure we'll be talking about it more, but the initiative is to make all the, primaries in Idaho, let any voter vote on any primary election. You don't have to be affiliated with a party. And then the second part of that is to introduce ranked choice voting in Idaho. So it would be a big change to the way folks are elected here. And, you know, the proponents say it will give us better government, and the people who are opposing it say it will weaken the political parties. And that is a debate, and people can certainly, they'll see more about it.
Yeah. Here in May, there will be an election which will not be affected by this, by the results of the Open Primaries Initiative. That election, at least, will carry on one way or another, and there is already a declared candidate for the May primary.
It's brand news.
In District 1.
Brand new news, yeah.
Brian Riley is his name, and he has announced his candidacy for County Commission in District 1. That's the seat currently held by Steve Bradshaw. I do not know if Bradshaw has announced whether he intends to also run for that seat, or if he'll be stepping down, but that he will be running for the Republican nomination for the seat, which usually that the results of the Republican nomination tend to determine the results of on the county commission, in at least in this county. Anyway, his name is Brian Riley, and he submitted a piece to the Daily Bee announcing his candidacy, and you can learn more there as well as in the Sandpoint Reader.
Yep, and he's a 38-year resident of Bonner County. He's attended Sagal and Elementary, Sandpoint Middle School, and he's a Sandpoint High School graduate. I think he and his wife Tanya have a couple kids, and I'm sure we're going to learn a lot more about Brian Riley running for District 1 Bonner County Commissioner, seat held by Steve Bradshaw, as we get into the actual election.
And it's been almost a month. It's been 3 or 4 weeks since the last election took place. So that's yeah, plenty of time. I think it's time
to start talking about it again.
Let's get back into it. Yeah. enough of a break. Let's get back into that. No, I'm that just seems like that happened awfully fast. Schweitzer is open. Did I mention that already? Schweitzer
opened. You did. They opened on November 25th. Last Saturday.
They were delayed they were quite delayed and then delayed again the last day. They were planning to open the 24th, but opened to some extent. I would say this weekend is going to be a much different weekend than last weekend was.
Well, yeah. It depends. We still are a little thin up there right now. Only the lower runs are open.
Yeah.
Where they were making snow.
Right.
They had to make snow to get enough there to open even. Uh-huh. This time of year, you know, you want to wear what they call your rock skis because you probably will hit some things with a thin coverage, but it's going to be a heck of a lot better this weekend for sure.
So I'm not a skier. Is that how much snow do you need before you can really say this run is ready to go, ready to ski?
Well, it depends on how much stuff is on a run, you know, like logs and rocks and so on. They keep the midway run really pretty well groomed and, you know, taken care of. And so they don't need as much coverage there. And just, I think they get by with about not much more than a foot or so. But really, to do the rest of the mountain, you need 2 or 3 feet to have enough on a lot of the lower runs. The steep runs, you got to get up around 3-4 feet of snow before those are really feasible to do. So Schweitzer probably has a good long way to go, but this is going to give him a good shot in the arm.
Yeah. This week, and I mean, rain down here in town next week could be snow up at higher elevations too.
Let's hope so.
Indeed. let's see. What else? The city council here in Sandpoint had one item of new business at their last meeting, and that was to approve or vote. They voted to apply for a child pedestrian safety grant. That would be $250,000 focused on improvements on Division Street between Pine and Superior, which if you ever are walking out on Division Street, it is not a terribly pedestrian-friendly part of town. And so that is the city council understandably voted to approve, to apply for that grant anyway. There's a story I don't actually know that much about, but it's sort of a curiosity, not by any means a fun story, but it caught my eye just because you don't hear about missing monks very often. But a monk from the Sravasti Monastery near Newport went missing last month and was possibly sighted near Sandpoint. This was now more than a week ago of the possible sighting. They've determined that they're calling, or at least the family has decided to move into a research phase, but they have not recovered the monk or any remains or anything like that. So what happened to that monk is a mystery. And I had no idea that we had a Buddhist monastery this close to us. But
it's been there for many years. I have never visited it myself, but you do occasionally hear a little bit of something from the monastery there near Newport.
There was a comprehensive plan workshop here in the city on November 29th. I did not attend that. I think that was on Wednesday evening. I wonder how well attended that was. Did you hear anything from
You know
from
what?
That?
There was a story, I think, in both the papers about mm-hmm. that, but I did not see it reported how many people turned up for that. And hopefully some of the folks that have got very energized in the last election about the way things mm-hmm. go in the city did come and get involved in the comprehensive plan.
There will be another one.
Rewrite that's going on, yeah.
Yeah, there will be another one on the 7th, which is next. We haven't turned over our calendars here yet. I just realized it's December.
I think it's next Thursday.
Yeah. Yep, next Thursday. December 7th, it will be the next meeting on the comprehensive plan here in town. Mm-hmm. On Saturday at the Panetta Theater, we have a Sandpoint Sound recorded there. Should we play that before we announce what it was?
Well, I think folks will probably know. Mm-hmm. the Shook Twins played. They're a local couple of gals that grew up here and are very popular here. And they tour nationally, even internationally. And so they're very accomplished musicians. They held their annual Giving Thanks concert. And we captured a little Sandpoint Sound there. Jack, I don't know if you listened mm-hmm. to it.
I haven't yet.
It's just a snippet of them. It was kind of fun and being in the crowd before mm-hmm. they came out. There's a lot of folks, making wolf howls and so on. Mm-hmm. Didn't catch much of that, but then they came out they sing a little a cappella song sitting on the front of the Panetta stage. So we got just a little start of that here.
Okay. Shook Twins at the Panetta Theater.
Yeah, it was actually quite a good show.
Sounded wonderful.
They played some of the original songs. They played some covers. They are involved in a side gig mm-hmm. with some other women artists that they call Side Boob, mm-hmm. and they came up and played some really great songs as well. And there were a bunch of other local musicians that got up on the stage with them. So it was a coming home music fest there. Twins.
Yeah, which has been, they've been doing that. They were here in KRFY's studio, I think, on Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving, to talk a little bit about it and give away some tickets. Yeah. And I can't remember what they said is how many years they've been doing it, but it's a tradition now.
It's become a tradition. A that, by the way, is what we call a Sandpoint Sound. We like to play one little snippet of something that we heard around town in the previous week here every Friday on the news of the week. And we invite you, if you are out there and hear something that you think is noteworthy, or you want to, that just kind of exemplifies our town, you can email that in to us. You go to our website, KRFY.org, and see us contact to send us a sound. Remember, everybody's got a pretty darn good recorder in mm-hmm. their pocket with these smartphones we have. So if you want to send in a Sandpoint Sound, we'd be happy to play it.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I wish Snowfall made noise.
You can hear the sound.
Yeah, that would be the
sound
be the
of
one
snow.
Today.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be the probably the predominant one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple other things I think we should mention on the county side, jury services are changing.
Yeah,
it's regarding how jurors here are summoned and how they serve. The county announced that Jury Commissioner David Thurman announced that the county is rolling out in partnership with the state. A new jury management system, and it's supposed to improve communication with potential jurors. He says that along with the ability to fill out juror qualification questionnaires online, that using this system will allow the county to contact jurors via email or text message to remind them about upcoming jury duty or send them alerts. So that's going to be a nice improvement for people that get summoned to the jury in Bonner County. And then another little note for county residents, that's just about all of us, I reckon. The Bonner County property taxes are being mailed out to property owners right now. So you should see those arriving in your mailbox. Of course, that's not necessarily good news. You know, I'd rather get a Christmas card this time of year. But Commissioner Luke Ahmet says, don't stress about higher property assessment values because everybody's property value has been going up. That usually means that your taxes are going to go up. But the way that the state does their budget's not based on your actual assessment. It's based on the budget, and they if they just dial back the size of the budget, it can reduce the tax bill that way. So we'll wait and see how well that works out for folks. Anyways, property owners will be seeing those property tax announcements coming in their mail here this very week, maybe even today.
Those of us who live in the city will be seeing today winter parking restrictions going into effect. This was something that I think I think last year was the first year that they had done this, but it is for snow removal reasons. Parking on the odd-numbered side of the street is prohibited citywide starting today and through March 1st, unless otherwise posted, and no parking is allowed on either side of the street on emergency routes as posted. So a lot of places where people have been parking until today, they can no longer park. And vehicles may not be parked within cul-de-sacs, and snow must be cleared from vehicles parked on the street within 24 hours. Residents of the city will also be required to remove snow from their sidewalks within 24 hours of 2 inches of accumulation. The crews, there's a note here on the priority routes. Crews will plow first priority on major residential thoroughfares like Boyer, Ella, Olive Division, and South Lincoln, Larch, Cedar, Pine, and Ontario running east route, east-west, and Schweitzer Cutoff Road, Woodland Drive, and Great Northern Road. Those, you know, kind of the big...
the arterials.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that goes into effect today. So move your car, basically. If you park on the street, look at where you're parking, because I don't know that I was aware of that last year at all, that had gone into
it. Yeah, I mean, it's an effort to make things work better for plowing snow and snow removal. So if people will observe that rule, and I don't know if they can get ticketed because they're on the wrong side, but they probably get a warning, I would assume, and then they could scale it up after that. But it just makes the snow removal so much better if people will... juggle their cars that way.
The publisher of the Sandpoint Reader, I think, it had a barb about that. Does not care for the new parking restrictions rules and was not afraid to shed some ink on that light. But the restrictions are in effect. I used to live in Minneapolis where it was alternate side parking, and you had to know what day of the
That's basically what this is. Yeah.
Yeah, but this one is just never on the odd side, whereas before it was like you'd have to change your car back and forth from one side to the other depending on the day of the week, and it was it's a thing. It's a thing people have to do. Snow removal is not always a pretty sight. Anyway,
mentioning city stuff, Ponderé, the city hall building, has a newly enlarged entry area. I don't know if you saw the story about that. It's just in today's paper.
Yeah.
But an elderly man accidentally pressed the gas when he was in front of the city hall building, and he ran into the right beside the door. He ran into the side, and the car went completely inside. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. But due to the severity of the damage, the city hall building is going to be closed at least through Monday, maybe longer. While they try to do some, at least some temporary repairs. But yeah, that could have been a tragedy. So in a way, you know, nobody it hurt. Turned out well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's see. As far as local news, that's probably...
Well, there's always more. I mean,
there's some...
The Reader has an interesting story this week on the wildlife habitat restoration project that's going on on the Pack River, in the Pack River Delta. This is a second phase. They did quite a bit of work there, quite a number of years back. The idea here is to restore a more natural wetlands there that would improve the habitat for waterfowl, hopefully also for the endangered bull trout and possibly the West Slope cutthroat trout, our native species here. So you may, if you're driving out Highway 200 going towards Hope and you go across the Delta there just a little bit past Idaho Club, you may see that there's work going on out there.
In the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, that is, Idaho is currently before the Supreme Court asking to allow enforcement of the state's abortion ban, which was blocked in federal courts by the Biden administration last year. It's currently the measure is unenforceable, but right now Idaho is before the Supreme Court. So that is that's going on in Washington, D.C. This week, or was on Monday. They were hearing arguments. So that's
a little bit of state news.
Yeah.
And Jack, we've hit our allotted 30 minutes here. It's not hard and fast, but
nope.
I did want to mention something happening tonight, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., and I'm going to go. I don't know if you are, but the Pondre Arts Council is opening their new gallery in their new home. It's at 313 North 2nd Avenue, which is basically right across the street from Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have a show with the art from the Artist of the Year, Ginny Benoit. And there are other locally made goods that they're going to have in their gallery there. So everybody's invited to come by, check out the new space there, and have a complimentary wine. That's the new Poet Gallery right across from Jalapeno's on 2nd Avenue.
Yeah.
5:30 to 7:30 p.m. tonight.
There's a lot going on. I went to the Festival of Trees out of the fairgrounds last night. It was like family open house night. There's also a gala tomorrow night.
A gala.
And that is that was formerly a Kinderhaven event, which they moved it to
the Community Resource and Vision Center. Is now holding that event. It's a fundraiser for CREC, and the CREC itself is kind of helps people connect with different social services in town. And so basically the folks that are going to the gala tonight, it's sold out, by the way. They have an auction. It's a fundraiser, and that money will support CREC and its mission to support nonprofit organizations and help people find the social services they need in town.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that KRFY's Winter Fun Drive starts tomorrow. Tune in to on Saturday night. Just Plain Bob is going to be here with some special guests in the studio. And if you are one of Bob's regular callers, there will be not just Plain Bob on the phones, but operators standing by to take your requests. And if you like, to take your donations to this radio station, which after all is a nonprofit radio station. And all next week during our regularly scheduled local shows, we'll have folks standing by on the phones if you want to call in and send out a donation to us. We would much appreciate it.
So you'll hear that during the morning shows next week, during the different broadcasters locally DJ'd shows, and they'll probably be telling you a lot about what KRFY does and why you might want to support this nonprofit community radio station that is completely supported. There's no advertiser money, although we do have underwriters, which we greatly appreciate and really need. But you can actually buy an ad here on KRFY. It's an independent, it provides independent community voice. And if you want to support us, you can do that. You can go to our website, krfy.org, or you can call us. We don't have people on the phone right now, but you leave a message and we get right back to you. Our phone number is 208-265-2992.
Also, coming up next week, it's a busy week, but we had Hannah Combs from the museum on yesterday.
Yesterday.
And, yeah. And they're having their prohibition repeal party on December 5th. And there's more going on. I would suggest going to sandpointonline.com to look at the upcoming events, because there are
dozens.
There are plenty. Yeah. It's
literally
probably
dozens,
the busiest.
Yeah.
I mean, we think of summer as like the busiest time of year around here, but I would say December.
It's right up there.
Yeah, it really gives it
hard to judge, but there's a lot going on. A lot of different community organizations have things going on. There's live music all around town, some various festivals happening. So, check it out. You can get to that on our website, krfy.org, which has the Sandpoint Online calendars embedded, or go to sandpointonline.com. And I think we're out of time.
Yep. Afraid so. Stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long right here on 88.5 KRFY, and a happy December 1st.
Here
we go.
Yep. Have a good week.